this one guy would be like, dude, Black Ops, dude, come on, you should get it. And I've been telling him for like 3 weeks that I'm not getting it.
Black Ops. Black Cops.
But I was going to put an image of Martin Lawrence and Will Smith in there.
That's funnier than the Winslow, the Family Matters one.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Hey there! Welcome to the Horrible Show for November 17th, 2010. This is the video game podcast for HorribleNight.com, and I'm your host, Justin, gamertag JDevil. With me, as always, this evening, we've got Cole in California.
What's up? Thanks for going in the right order this week.
You're welcome. I did that for you. Christina in Indy.
Hey.
And now Ethan's confused, also in Indy.
I was going to say, God damn it. Yeah. Hey, I'm happy to be on the podcast.
I didn't ask you if you were. I was just stating the fact that you're here, but I'm glad you're happy. So we've got a lot of positive vibes going this week, but mainly because we try to come up with a podcast schedule that we stick to, and it never happens, but our core crew tends to stick through things. We've been trying to do a co-op podcast for the last month, and I think we finally got it set that it'll be here in 2 weeks. But had to do some last-minute rescheduling. So tonight we're going to be looking at what games we've been playing in the past month and talking through those. But as always, we'll start off with our threesomes of the week, where we all list off three pieces of media that have had our attention in the past week, our on-the-spot question to get us warmed up, then our what-are-we-playing discussion for the month of November. Got a couple of HorribleNight.com updates with some new series, and then last minute industry shout outs where we point out any news stories that have had our attention. And let's get rolling with the threesomes. And let's start with Mr. Number One, always first, Coldface Killa. Your threesomes.
All right. I'm going to start off with Mass Effect. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. So that's just the game I've been playing most recently. And it wouldn't be a Horrible Night podcast without Mass Effect.
True.
Then I haven't started reading this book. I wanted to get it though. It's called How Lucky You Can Be by Buster Olney of ESPN fame. He's a baseball writer, and he wrote this book about, this basketball coach who was on the brink of passing Bob Knight's, all-time win record. And he was in a really bad car accident. And, when the doctor opened him up for surgery after the car accident, they found terminal cancer in him. And, you know, it's a story about his life and his life as a basketball coach. And I think he's still alive. And this happened in 2008. So, it's supposed to be a really good book. And then, today, actually, I don't know. I don't remember how I came across this, but it's called Epic Rap Battles of History. And, they have Adolf Hitler versus Darth Vader. And it's actually pretty good. It's history? Only like a, yeah.
Where in history is Darth Vader featured?
A long time ago, buddy.
In a galaxy far away.
Far, far away.
Yeah.
Continue.
Ancient history.
So it's actually really well done, and it's pretty funny. So I recommend you check it out. It's on YouTube. And
so they have they have more series.
This is the second one. The first one is John Lennon versus Bill O'Reilly. It's not bad, but it's not as funny as the Adolf Hitler Darth Vader one. And this guy, his name's Nice Peter, and he has a pretty good he has a website that has like music and stuff on there that's pretty good too. So
cool. Thanks for lightening up the mood a little bit there. We're getting a little dark. So yeah. Ethan, I'll let you go second this time.
Oh, cool. Thank you for allowing me to be second, such as being the middle child, which I actually am. So that just brings up good feelings all around.
I'm just doing it so I can ignore you later.
I kind of wanted to bring up real quick that, you know, the co-op podcast is kind of the Duke Nukem Forever podcast. You know what I mean? Is it going to come out next week? We don't know. Keeping people on their toes.
Well, I appreciate you guys being flexible.
I'm just...
We'll just have to farm it out to some other video game podcast so they can do it.
They will do that.
Gearbox is going to have to pick it up.
Yeah.
This weekend, I watch. You know, everyone thinks I'm probably the biggest dick on the planet for making my wife watch a bunch of shitty movies. So this weekend, she got to pick, you know?
Oh.
So I watched Dragonfly with Kevin Costner, who I'm basically in love with. cool kind of a psychological, ghosty, afterlife-y, sad-y movie about a wifey. and it actually wasn't bad, and I got some tears in my eyes at the end of it, I'm not gonna lie. Pretty interesting. You know, if you don't like those type of movies, you'll probably hate it. The second movie we got, which I was really shocked about, was When in Rome with Kristen Bell. And you think it's just gonna be a romantic comedy, but it was like a physical comedy. It was like Three Stooges meets you know, Sex in the City. It was the most insane movie I think I've probably seen, just because I was not expecting it at all. I mean, again, I didn't realize Kristen Bell did physical comedy, but she does. It's not very funny, though. So,
but it's technically in there.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that movie, to be quite honest with you. But there is a good little part by John Heater, whoever, you know, Napoleon Dynamite guy. He had a pretty funny role in that. So, but it's not worth it. So don't even worry about it.
Well, thanks for screening that one for us.
Yeah, I do. I'm going to screen a lot of crappy movies for everybody, because she's got about three more picks left before I'm allowed to choose again. So
after you put her through four crappy movies of your own, you're already calling her out for watching more crappy movies.
It's torture.
I feel like we should start some sort of group to allow you to see a good movie for the both of you.
I was going to say, we need it, because we've been really bad lately.
Yeah, if any listeners want to help Ethan out.
So maybe that can be a horrible night contest, is go with me to a good movie. last but not least, and maybe this has a little bit to do with playing Black Ops, but I went through my little bookshelf and found the Navy SEAL Workout by Mark DeLisle, who is a Navy SEAL. And I've been doing that, and it's pretty tough, but it's not as tough as P90. So P90. Have you guys heard of that?
Yeah, no. I heard of it. P90X.
It's like a crazy workout routine, and it's pretty insane. And
is that on the Kinect?
Huh?
Is that on the Kinect?
You know, it actually could be. I'm surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if you see it on there. But I think my suggestion would be that the Navy SEALs, if they did P90X, they would be even better than they already are, and they're already really tough.
It's all about the Navy SEALs.
Well, not calling them out, I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. I know I'm not, because I've been playing that game, and those guys are pretty tough, you know, so I don't want to get my throat slit. I'm just suggesting P90X Navy SEALs. Maybe you'd like it. Maybe you'd switch things up. So,
all three of your items you don't really recommend.
Yeah. And I don't even know if this guy is a Navy SEAL, to be quite honest with you. He looks more like a porn star, so yeah. Don't listen to me for the evening.
Ethan and his questionable threesomes. All right, Christina, save us.
All right, well, I played the Scott Pilgrim vs. the World arcade game on Xbox Live just barely. Got through the first level and put it down. I was done. I don't know, I barely made it through that first level with however many lives they give you, and I don't know, found it repetitive, didn't really get the point of money and what to spend it on, because the items didn't really say what they were or what they did, so still trying to get a feel for that game, but when I do get some more free time, I'd like to go back to it.
It's so old school in that regard, like, it doesn't do a good job explaining that you're going to have to play through levels multiple times to kind of level up your stats and get more moves, and you know, that's what those items do. They help out with your stats, and it's
Are they permanent?
Some of them are.
I can't tell which ones should I be spending my money on, because they don't disappear when you buy them.
And I'm it's also a really hard game. Like, I've been playing it on easy. But I also stopped playing it because I just want to play it with three or four people locally rather than trying to trudge through it by myself. But yeah, stick with it. I'm glad you at least got it on sale.
Yeah, I'd be.
And the soundtrack's badass.
Oh yeah, yeah. The What is that considered? Like chip 16-bit tunes. Or
yeah,
8-bit yeah. kind of sound?
Yep.
Let's see. I did a couple episodes of 30 Rock last week. Still like that show. It's not like spectacular, but I'm entertained by it, and I'm glad it's still in the air. It took me a season and a half to get it. I don't know. It was just like this is funny, but I don't know why. I'm not laughing out loud. I know this is funny, and then one day it hit me. I'm like, ah, there we go.
It is funny.
I get it. No.
Actually, some people have been complaining that show's turned pretty formulaic. Like I still love it, but
it has. I mean, I think they found their groove, so now they just gotta get out of the groove, change the groove up a little bit, groove on down. Oh, I'm sorry, I just muted myself.
that was exciting.
And then I saw Unstoppable on Saturday with my family, and it's good.
It's not like a question.
It was it was interesting. Like I don't remember that event going down, and so I don't know how much of that was Hollywood, you know, making it bigger than it was. But the movie basically said that, you know, a whole town would have blown up and hundreds of thousands of people would have died if this train had not been stopped.
Wait, that movie was based on reality?
I was under the impression.
What?
Am I wrong about that?
I haven't heard it, but
someone told me this, so maybe I'm completely wrong, but
that's awesome. If that's, it's a Washington is more than actor.
I'm probably completely wrong about that, because I'd never even heard of the movie. And I don't have TV or internet or where. Well, I do have internet.
Loosely inspired by actual events. May 15th, 2001.
I could be completely wrong.
It says it's loosely, and they can loosen it as much as possible, I'm sure. But just thank God for Denzel Washington. That's all.
I was going to say, wow. So did he really help that whole thing?
I think that was the only true part, is it was Denzel Washington.
He just jumped on a train. Like
yeah.
Fucking badass.
While he was filming a bunch of movies in 2001.
I know, he was busy in 2001, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He took the time. See, he's a man of the people, and I appreciate that.
Should have just named it Unbelievable.
Kind of. I mean, it kind of is. It was kind of anticlimactic, too. I mean, it ended, and you're like, yeah! I don't ever need to see that again. Like, I don't want to rent it. We're done.
How was Captain Kirk?
Captain Kirk.
The other guy.
The other guy.
Oh,
I don't know what his name is.
Chris Pine?
He was good.
Chris Pine.
Was he snarky?
He was a smartass. You know, he was the rookie.
I think
the young hotshot.
He was Kirk-like.
Kind of had, yeah. I guess he was sort of Kirk-like. Oh God, I hope he doesn't get typecasted.
Oh shit! Late. The train, man. Shit.
Like
Saturday
that.
Saturday
that
Night Live.
That guy's so hot. That guy's a hot guy.
You hit that.
Your brain company.
You've exceeded our man crush quota for the podcast.
What if him and Billy Zane were in the same movie, Ethan?
Oh! So,
directed by Kevin Costner.
Oh my!
My gosh! It's called Unpopable, more like it. I was gonna say
if you guys didn't see it, Saturday Night Live did a pretty good parody of the Unstoppable trailer. Like,
uh-huh.
It's I recommend tracking that down and checking it out.
All right. Justin.
Well, yes, ma'am.
What you been doing, man?
I have been doing a lot of not enough video games. But I was really excited last week that Conan came back. That pretty much made my entire week. I think I watched
Conan O'Brien.
Conan O'Brien. Yes.
I thought it was Conan. I was yeah. like, yeah. It's a red meat in here.
No, Conan. One of his opening jokes that first show was that he named the show Conan so he'd be harder to replace because
I did like that.
But just happy to have him back and. I was actually surprised that the show's format is identical to every other late night show. I thought they might try to change that up a little bit, but then it's also only on Monday through Thursday, so it's not on Fridays. But
do you know what happened to his band?
I'm pretty sure it's the same band. It's just
no, Max Weinberg is not there.
Well,
he's on tour, isn't he?
I'm pretty sure it's the same band minus Max Weinberg.
Oh, okay.
But Jimmy Vivino is the and the basic cable band is the...
And La Bamba's still there, so that's all that matters, really.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. And who knows when, I think, isn't Springsteen on...
I was going to say, yeah, I think the E Street Band's on tour right now.
Yeah, so Max is still on tour. And I'm sure they'd welcome him back if he wants to show up on TBS. But movies-wise, I don't know why I did, but I curiosity got the best of me, and I checked out the Prince of Persia movie on my own, just like... It's like a 2 a.m. movie. And so I rented like the standard definition version. I was like, $350 or however much it costs. I'll see what it's all about. It is a weird movie in that it's got such huge set pieces and it's got decent actors in it and a fairly decent story. But like, Christina, did you see it?
No, okay. I heard it was awful.
It's like, terrible. It's terrible.
Almost unwatchable.
But it's actually close to being a decent movie. But the one thing that caught me off guard is that it moves so fast. It's like they never let any moment like have any weight to it. It's just like they're just hitting their spots. Like so there's nothing absolutely terrible about it. But as a whole, it's awful. It's so bizarre. It could be good. But then you're looking at everything. And they've spent a ton of money on it, and it just. It's just bizarre that it made it through, in that fashion. That it's still it's unwatchable. It's I almost compare it to like the the Epic Movie and Scary Movie guys, kind of unwatchable. It's just.
Do you think Michael Bay's interaction or participation in that movie would have made it better?
Couldn't have made it worse.
Yeah.
And then I got to thinking, like, with Bruckheimer, I thought, he was able to make at least, the first Pirates of the Caribbean pretty entertaining. I was like, maybe Pirates of the Caribbean really wasn't that good minus Johnny Depp, in Captain Sparrow's character, like, in that first movie. Maybe the rest of that movie was just as bad as Prince of Persia, because there's no character that stands out in it it's very bizarre. I take it back. It doesn't remind me of Scary Movie so much as like the Scorpion King movie. It's like that on that level of like they're just hitting their marks and they've got their basic Arabian stuff in it. So it was, and yeah. There's way too many white people in it too, by the way. Like I didn't think it was a big deal that Gyllenhaal was cast in that role, but like every other person in all the major roles is still white, and it's just kind of adds up over time.
Kind of like the Southern Baptist church's view on the Bible, almost. Despite them being in the Fertile Crescent, everybody's white. Yeah.
Maybe that's what they're going for. I didn't think about that. Games-wise, we've got plenty of discussion coming up, but I did try out Train Yard on the iPhone, which was one of those top-selling apps that I hadn't tried before and thought I knew what it'd all be all about. It's just a little puzzle game about, redirecting your train to not have it crash and get to certain points without failing and solving the puzzles that way. But it's actually better than I expected, and good use of 99 cents for a puzzle game, and pretty decent style to it. So
was that a spinoff on Unstoppable?
I wish I actually, that'd be funny if I had been inspired by Unstoppable to buy Train Yard, but I had no interest in seeing Unstoppable. So all right, that wraps up our threesomes, and let's get back to games a little bit and move to our on the spot question. Cole actually came up with a new series which we'll detail a little bit later, called Don't Be That Guy, and I want to know what guy are you? What game out there do you get way too excited about that no one wants to bring up in a conversation with you? And Christina, what guy are you?
What guy?
Yeah.
That would be the Halo guy, girl. I love Halo, and I think everyone knows it. It's almost as bad as, like, Ninja Turtles. Now, the other thing is, I don't talk about Ninja Turtles that much. I just wear a lot of Ninja Turtle shit, so I'm constantly advertising for them, which is why they never want to bring it up in conversation around me. But I digress. Halo. I would have to say Halo, probably.
Do you find that you're defending it more, or you're...
Yeah, I... Well, it depends on which Halos we're talking about. Like, I really do defend the original Halos, because I know several people, including you guys, who didn't really care for the first Halo. Wasn't really, you know, your kind of game. And, I mean, it was kind of the first of that type that I had ever played, so that's why it made such a big impact on me, and it was one of the first games I played, like, co-op with my brother, and I just enjoyed that type of gameplay so much. So I think that really started my game addiction. I mean, I've always loved games, but...
We're going to have to cut you off because you're getting to be Halo guy. that's funny. Cole, what guy are you?
I am... I can't choose just one game, but I'm Squaresoft RPG for the Super Nintendo guy. if anybody wants to talk about Secret of Mana, Final Fantasy VI, Chrono Trigger... what else? Even Secret of Evermore, even though it's not that great of a game, I'm that guy. I will talk for days.
Do you ever find yourself having to defend it? I'm trying to think if there are any haters of that.
No, I think people are just like, dude, pick something else to talk about. Those games are like 10 to 15 years old. Like, be a little more current.
Ethan, what guy are you?
You know, I would have said in the past Resident Evil guy, but I think in like the last 2 years, the concentration of video game talk has revolved around Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas. There's a lot to talk about within those games, but I defend the hell out of those games because, I mean, there's obviously some broken mechanics within them, and I'm all about it. I think it's such a great experience. I think everybody should test it out, even if they hate it.
I heard there's some bugs in that game or something.
I wouldn't know. I'm fucking blinded by my love, so... yeah, definitely that guy.
I am most definitely Rock Band guy. Heck, I've even been...
No.
When I was doing Monday night events at a local bar for a local social network, just trying to be as vague as possible, they actually referred to me as Rock Band guy. Like, no one knew my name. because they were all drunk by the time they came over to play Rock Band, but I was Rock Band guy, and I've embraced that ever since. And yeah, I will defend Rock Band and Harmonix to no end. And I can also pretty much identify any song on the radio, whether or not it is in Rock Band, which used to not be all that impressive, but now they're wow. Nearing like 2,000 songs, and I'm still.
And you've got 1,099 of them?
I've got 827.
That so. Man, that's a lot. How much money have you spent, do you think?
It's at least, it's at least an average of a buck and a half a song, so you can do the math then, plus instruments.
Plus instruments, plus multiple versions.
Yeah. Well, I averaged out the price of the games. Never mind. Well, I digress. I spent a lot of money on Rock Band.
Are we over 1,000? Under?
Oh, easy. I think I'm 1,500 to 2K, somewhere in there.
It's probably got to be the most expensive game out there.
I was gonna say, yeah, that's.
Well, it's a. Never mind.
I know. It's more than a game.
Don't
it's
get
an
the
experience.
Rock Band guy going.
It's a platform.
Shut up. That's exactly what I was going to say.
You kids with your video games. All right.
All right. Well, that wraps up the on-the-spot question before I go a little Rock Band crazy. All right. November, what are you playing, Ethan?
I've been actually, for those of you that didn't know it, Team America World Police video game came out last week, aka Call of Duty Black Ops. And
is there puppet fucking in that game?
I was gonna say, no, there's not, but like the whole time I played the single player and even the multiplayer version of that game, the America fuck yeah was just playing in my head. And I mean, seriously, I mean, they did a, you know, it's again, they lead you by the hand the whole way through that game, but it's kind of like someone taking you through an awesome, awesome Michael Bay movie, and that says a lot because I think his movies suck. So I'm actually having a lot of fun with it. The multiplayer, not a lot's changed, but I think that, you know, and you all describing Halo Reach, there was a lot of weekly incentives to play and stuff changed up, and there's something similar to that in Black Ops and the contracts that you can do, and some of the challenges. And there's a lot to be a lot of fun to be had with that. And I have missed.
Are they daily and weekly?
Right now it looks daily, but I bought one, and then it said the next time you can get this. And I don't know if it rotates quite like the new stuff, like Halo, but it looks like they have, and again, I haven't played the Halo Reach. I'm not exactly sure how that works, but they have updated, you know, kind of these contracts. And when you buy these contracts, you can earn money by doing different tasks and yada, yada, yada. So, I mean, it adds to it, and it is worth.
So you buy contracts and you earn money. Like, what are you buying it with the same type of money? Like,
so basically what you do is you're earning experience in Call of Duty, just like you did in Modern Warfare 2, but you also earn money by playing multiplayer. And so the experience, you know, unlocks weapons and different things like that. And then the money you use to actually buy those weapons. Okay.
Okay. So you have to unlock them and then you have to buy them, much like that. Yeah, so it is kind of like the armory in Halo. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, and
Well, because the armor in Halo is not useful at all. It's just that's aesthetics.
Well, this stuff, I mean, there is some stuff like that. Like, there's face paint and camouflage at a later level. But, yeah, I mean, there's most of it is, you know, weapon attachments. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you can do with it, which is pretty cool. But, again, not a whole lot's changed. But I've had a lot of fun. Unfortunately, my issue, as I wrote about this week with, you know, the Call of Duty games, is the douchebags that play that game. It's like a douchebag magnet. And Cole actually wrote about that today too. So
I just like the visual of the douchebag magnet. I'm sorry.
What the fuck? I feel bad supporting the game. I mean, I enjoy it, but it's a huge douchebag magnet. And I always have to wear an Ed Hardy shirt when I play. So that's kind of...
So you've been spending more of your time on single player or multiplayer?
Multiplayer. I beat single player this past weekend. So I'm surprised too, because I figured I'd still be playing Fallout 3 Fallout New Vegas a lot, which I am, but Black Ops has actually stolen quite a bit of my time. So, and I've had a great time with it.
How long was your single playthrough?
You know, I can't, it was not more than maybe 7 hours.
Yeah. Okay. That's kind of what they've been.
Including dying and all that.
How did it compare on the Michael Bay silliness factor to Modern Warfare 2?
I thought it killed it, actually. It was pretty surprising. I mean, I was kind of like, Modern Warfare 2 kind of set the standard or set the precedent, but no, Black Ops, it went above and beyond. I mean, it's pretty extreme, and it's fun. I mean, you have a good time. It's not, again, you're not... It's so different from Fallout, you know what I mean? Because Fallout, you're making your own decisions, you're taking on conflict in different ways, but in Black Ops, you're basically running down a tunnel and a bunch of crazy shit's happening, which it is enjoyable, you know? It's not a thinking man's game.
That's why so many people play it.
I was going to say, yeah, there's your douchebag factor right there. Holy cow.
Did you see the fucking sales numbers of that? Like, I mean, it blew Modern Warfare 2 out of the water. Like,
it's crazy. And I'm hoping that they don't take that and just pop out another, you know, Call of Duty game next year. I'm hoping they just...
They will. It's Activision.
I know they will. I know they will. But, I mean, there's a lot of potential to keep adding to this game, and I wouldn't mind it. But, yeah, they're going to pop one out.
Cool. What's your next game on your list?
You know, I've talked about Supreme Commander 2 a little bit, and this is kind of the surprise title that's come into my... plain queue, and I kind of like to refer to it as Super Giant Robot Battle Fest, because that's basically what it is. You know, and I think that's the name, the translation in Japan as well.
It's catchy. It's catchy.
I would wear that t-shirt, actually.
Maybe we, you know what? Let me put a copyright thing on there. TM, is that, there you go. But I've had a lot of fun with that, and it's really difficult. And I don't think I'll ever play it online, nor do I think that people still play it online. But it's just pretty fun to just raise armies of literally 500. That's your unit cap is 500. And there's no
only 500.
Well, is there a game that has more than that?
I was going to say that was me being sarcastic. I don't know if you've ever heard that before.
I was going to say we're all
I'm not doing it right
way
now.
Too good at being sarcastic, because we can't even tell anymore. But I don't know. It's a fun game. It's interesting to just make these huge armies, and I just do it. I play against the medium computer because the hard computer just kicks the shit out of you. And there's all kinds of different ways to play. You know, you can have a defensive strategy. You can be completely offensive. You can use long range cannons. I mean, there's just so much to it. It's a really deep game, and I think that's probably why it didn't catch on as easily as some other games, because there's just so many possibilities of how you approach a battle, and I really liked it because of that. But if I had to play it competitively, I'd get killed.
I think I want to hear your impressions of the first one, because like I think I said that last week, I think they stripped some of the, or they simplified it a little bit from the first one, like just from the scale standpoint. So I'd be interested to see if that's
said that. I kind of want to pick it up now, because I cannot imagine what they stripped out of it. You know, I mean, I'm sure they did, but I can't wrap my head around what it was. You know what I mean? Because it's a giant game.
Yeah, they were trying to make it a little bit more approachable, but still keep it Supreme Commander. So, yeah. But you bought that for like $5 or something?
Oh yeah, it was $5. I mean, it was a steal. I don't know how it could possibly be that much. I mean, it just came out March 1st of 2010.
Did it really?
Unless I'm looking at this wrong. No. Maybe that was when it came onto Steam. Yeah, that's when it came onto Steam. But still, I mean, it right now it's listed at $14.99. So it's insane how much you can get that game for on Steam. But yeah, I love it. It's a great use of $4.99.
So, I mean, and I guess my next question was, how much would you have spent on it, knowing what it is now?
That's a weird thing, because I don't think I even would have touched it if it wouldn't have been $5. But knowing now, I think I would have paid half price. I mean, I would have paid $25 at most. I don't think I would have picked it up new, you know, but I actually like it a lot better than StarCraft 2, and I bought that new.
That was my next question.
Yeah, no, I like it much better than StarCraft 2. It's not, you know, StarCraft 2, you can't really make any mistakes. This game, you can a little bit. So.
You can fuck up.
You can.
And get fucked up.
And get very fucked up.
Glad we clarified that. Coleman, let's jump into your games.
I mentioned it in the threesomes, but I've been fully immersed into the Mass Effect world once again.
Massa what?
Massaqua?
I've never heard that
he's
game.
He's a receiver
before.
For the Cleveland Browns.
Cool.
yeah, it's called Mass Effect. It came out about 3 years ago. I bought it when I first got my 360. When was that? July? Something like that?
Around E3 when the game came out.
Yeah. I had put it down, I think late July. I played like maybe 16 hours, 17 hours, something like that. And then I had all these side quests piling up, and I was like, oh my god, this game is crazy. And I got distracted by other games, and this last week I decided, you know, I got the itch to jump back in and just knocked out all the side quests that I had in the queue, and just, you know, I was like, all right, so I'm going to get these three done before I stop playing. And then that three turned into six, and then I just ended up doing them all in like maybe two play sessions. So
you went back in and you you did side quests to start?
Yeah, I did the side quests to start, because I think I'm getting really close to the end of the main story, so I wanted to get all the side quests done.
Good call. And
so I have them all done that I can do right now. I don't know if any more will pop up. I'm sure there will be. And so this week I'm going to head back and try to beat Saren and see what's going on there.
In your, I mean, other than that, you're playing a lot of Fable 2 and Kinect. Like, what drew you back to Mass Effect?
I got really bored with Fable 2. I wanted something that was
RPG, but the opposite.
Yeah, like a little harder. Fable 2 is like just there's no challenge to it really. The fighting is.
It's hard to fart in that game sometimes.
Like you said, you get a fart in that game. I don't know. It's just like Fable 2 is just. I kind of compare it to a fighting game where you don't know how to do the moves, so you're just like mashing on the buttons to me, like especially in the fighting part. So it's like, I don't know. And at least Mass Effect has some kind of strategy to it where you got to pay attention to your companions and what they're doing and what kind of weapons they're using or biotics or whatever. So I don't know. I just think it's a lot more challenging, and I like the challenge of Mass Effect over Fable 2.
Cool.
And then, excuse me. Then my second game is The Kinect. Been playing Dance Central. I kind of like the dichotomy of both those games. Like, they're totally opposite. So
a little bit
tired. I won't get tired of. Well, I get tired of dancing, but I won't get tired of actual playing. You know, it's not like they're so similar. I'm gonna be able to just like, oh my god, I can't play either one of these games, which sometimes happens to me.
So you said knee injury be damned.
I know you're. It's just so much fun, and some of those songs, like, they're stupid songs, but they're fun to dance to.
I've got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Your knee's injured, but how's your heart? Because all you need is heart to dance.
I got heart.
Damn straight.
I must be missing that. That makes more sense, though.
Yeah. But I do recommend, if you do are dancing centrally, that you do it in shoes. It's a lot easier to do it in shoes than doing it barefoot or in socks on carpet, because you can slip and fall quite easily.
Now, what if you did that in the shape-up shoes? You know, the ones that are supposed to kind of work your butt?
Oh, you would have a booty like crazy.
Dude.
I already have a booty like crazy, so I don't need the shape-up shoes.
That's true.
You could never have too crazy of a booty, I think. I mean, just putting that out there.
So, I don't know. Kinect might think it's like a third limb or something.
They're tall. I've almost considered them. A friend of mine bought them this weekend, and I tried a pair on a couple nights ago in a mire, and they looked more like the old school Vans. You know, the ones that didn't fall apart, like Converse shoes, like the friggin' thick ones. Anyway, I almost got them, but I
okay. Sure. So back to video games.
So back to games. I'm sorry,
Ethan. You said something about getting a Kinect in the future. Is this one of the games that you'd like to?
Oh yeah, no, we're definitely getting a Kinect, and yes, we're gonna get Dance Central, and I'm gonna have a lot of fun with that. I like to dance because I think I look like a fool.
Yeah, but, and it's a lot of fun, and
wait till you see freestyles.
Oh my god. I was watching my wife do the Crank That from Soulja Boy today, and I just stood in the background during her freestyle and waved while she danced around, and it was hilarious just to both of us. So I mean, that is a game that needs, you know, a bunch of people around to laugh and have a good time with.
It's been my only problem with Kinect is I haven't been around other people, and so I have no motivation to play it, but because it just feels fucking silly by yourself.
Yeah, it does.
And I suck at dancing, so I get frustrated.
I saw a very disappointed father in Best Buy looking at his 6-year-old dancing to like Lady Gaga or something, and man, he was shaking it. Boy, that kid was going for it. And the father was just smiling through gritted teeth.
You guys seen the Kinect fail videos yet?
Oh no!
There's two in particular. Yeah, two in particular that I'll post that of parents just absolutely nailing their kids in the face during Kinect. One is like the elbow to the face. Yeah, it's pretty spectacular. Anything else about Dance Central, Coleman?
No, if you have a Kinect, you should get it.
Yeah, it's
definitely the best game for the Kinect, I think.
Absolutely. Christina, we're going to go ahead and get rolling with your games.
Let's roll. What have I been playing? I picked up Assassin's Creed Monday night, midnight. Wait, was that yesterday?
You don't know. Yeah,
wow.
Monday night is accurate.
All right. Anyway, yeah, I picked that up at midnight, and I played it for, like, all of 5 minutes yesterday. So today, when I got home from work, I got to play it for about an hour or so more. And so far, I like it. I did see one thing that kind of pissed me off. That would be the reintroduction of those stupid little flags that are hidden on top of all these rooftops. I absolutely hated hunting those down and in the first game. In fact, that was one compulsive achievement I didn't go for.
Yeah,
I just did not care.
So how is it, again, I keep going back to the feathers in Assassin's Creed 2. How is it different than the feathers? Like, yes, they're flags. But
the feathers, for some reason, were so much easier for me to find. I found all of them. I didn't have to look anything up. I don't know what it was. Like, I can't remember if... Was there a map for it? Was there something that kind of showed you...
Not for the feathers. For the treasures there were.
I just found the feathers, like, no problem.
All right.
But the flags? No. I didn't complete a single area. I'm missing, like, in the first game, I'm missing, like, hundreds of them in each area.
Have you tried out multiplayer yet?
I have not. I'm not terribly excited about that feature.
Well, you gotta give it a try, though.
Oh, I will. I will. And before I do that, though, I'm probably gonna check out Black Ops 2 because I did pick
Black Ops 2's out. Oh, that's really fast, Activision. Jesus Christ!
They're kind of desperate for those bucks, so.
It only sold 3 copies.
Yeah. As far as no like story spoilers, mainly for Cole and I, but
picks up like, right where the second one left off, like immediately.
And then like graphics impressions, like other like
looks the same. I don't know, something about it seems like it's been a while since I've played the second Assassin's Creed, but something about it seems like slightly less polished. I could be wrong about that. But still, it's, you know, the architecture's still looking the same, and I've only seen one new area, and I have not explored it very far. So, but I'm sure we can expect to see some nice environments some new things to interact with. They've got some kind of elevators that shoot you up real quick.
Elevators?
Well, you know, like pulleys and weights.
Okay. And it's like I'm no... 14th historian, century. But and then I guess my other question to you is that I was surprised at how excited you were about this game, and that it's only come out a year since Assassin's Creed 2. Any apprehension there, or were those fears alleviated when you booted it up?
Not yet. I'm actually still got those fears. So far, it's not moving very quickly. It's kind of like, hey, we wanted to make a sequel, but let's not jump to the next big chapter. Let's see if we can tack on another one
The
last book, the last game, and that's what it feels like right now.
Somebody said it's more. It's not expansion pack. It's more epilogue.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. It's. There is a little bit of gameplay with Desmond, which is what I've actually been wanting to see since the first Assassin's Creed was that character you're playing as that's going back in his ancestor's DNA or whatever. So you actually get to run around like him, and he's got basically Ezio's full abilities now. So that's kind of cool. Cool. And they do a little bit of a Prince of Persia routine with him and some girl.
So, like a dance routine. Sorry. Yeah. I'm still in Dance Central mode.
Why not?
Cool. What's your next game there?
Bioshock Minerva's Den. Bioshock 2, that is. I played through that last week, and I was impressed with it. I think it was worth the money. It's about as long as two or three regular chapters in a Bioshock game, and it's basically a full game. The rate at which you find plasmids and weapons is very accelerated, so you can get kind of the most gameplay out of it. So
how does the story work? Like, are you the same? What
are you?
The
you same are character? Different. You're a different character. I'm trying to think who you are.
Are you a big daddy, or are you a...
You are a big daddy still, because they've got, you know, all those weapons were designed for the big daddy. So I think they wrote that it was like one of the Alpha series or something. and you're interacting with this computer that kind of helps run big parts of oh gosh, what's the name of that city?
Rapture. Wow.
There we
you
go.
Really
I know. I know. So yeah, it wasn't as polished as a big game, but I think for an expansion and at the price I paid, yeah, it's well worth it. So
it kind of came out of nowhere too. Like I know they did the kind of multiplayer add-on, but I had no idea they were working on a couple of new chapters to it. And I think it kind of, it kind of revitalized Bioshock 2 in my mind that they were able to put together a story like that that seems it's been really well received critically. So it's just a matter of I don't know how many people have played it. So, but
well,
we've got like 19 years till Bioshock Infinite comes out, so I'll get plenty of time to play it.
I'm not sure if they intended to include these concepts in the main game. So maybe these were kind of some leftover ideas that they had tossing around, and maybe they had developed some content, some graphics and models and all that for this. So, these kind of expansions have got to be much easier for them to crank out just because, the game engine's built, so they can reuse a lot of props and things.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, it just comes down to story and recording new voiceovers.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that, having to bring people back into the studio for that.
Yeah, a couple of them return. There's a new character that's talking to you throughout that, and then the Russian girl whose accent I think is horrible. Man, I didn't notice it being that bad in the first one. I don't know if it's the same girl, mm-hmm, but it's noticeably bad in this one.
Is it because you hate Russians, or she just does a bad
absolutely
Russian accent?
That's
absolutely
a good question. That was a good question.
So, thank you for jumping to conclusions there.
I know you played... I want to jump to a new game. I know you played another expansion or downloadable content this week. Can you touch base on Crackdown 2 Toy Box?
Yeah, they added one thing that I really liked. They added some thrusters. So basically, with the wingsuit and the thrusters combined, you can actually stay in the air infinitely.
Huh.
I mean, and I think that is an achievement where you just do that for several minutes. don't touch the ground. So I was actually able to complete all the wingsuit challenges, which before I think I got one done. I just couldn't get the hang of the wingsuit. But,
oh, nice.
But now I've got it.
So easy achievements with that. That's
yeah.
Fun. I think.
And I think some new vehicles. I haven't been able to see how functional that new helicopter is. It, supposedly you're able to get you can get up to 4-person co-op in there. So I guess they're supposed to be able to ride in that with you, an air vehicle.
Do 4 people still own that game, you think?
I doubt it because I haven't played with them. I would like to go back and get some of that stuff, the co-op spheres and
why?
Goals. Well, in that game...
Because I'm an achievement whore.
And it's
how much
it's
is
easy.
That game?
Huh? I'm going to look it up right now. Go ahead.
It's probably dirt cheap now because no one wants it.
I was going to say, hey, if I may, if it's cheap, I might pick it up because
it's
fucking $39 still.
Jesus.
$29.99 on Amazon, sorry. That's not too bad.
I'll just steal it.
I was going to say, if you could get it to me for like minus $1, I'll play it.
So you got to pay. You got to get paid to play it?
Yeah.
So you'd be a professional gamer?
Sure. when you mentioned the jetpack, like now I kind of want to see the Crackdown 2 guys combined with the Just Cause 2 guys. Like I feel like Just Cause 2 hit its peak with his style of gameplay, but if you could combine it with more like super badass RoboCop stuff, and have the Just Cause 2 guys kind of expand the experience a little bit more, I think that could be a fun Crackdown 3. But
can you fill me in on Just Cause 2 or that series? Because I have not played any of them.
It's the other. It's just another open world series, but there's just I don't know. It seemed to be I felt even more freedom in Just Cause than I did in Crackdown 1, and it's not about having superhuman strength. He just has a grapple hook and a parachute that you can use infinitely and to fly around and just do ridiculous stunts the entire time. And it's on a massive island that's feels a lot less restricting than that city. It's just much more open world than Crackdown was. And it was just, these games kind of came out within a month of each other. And after playing Just Cause 2, I had absolutely no interest in Crackdown for that reason. So anyway, cool. Well, thanks for giving those a shot. We should definitely talk more about DLC and figuring out, you know, which DLCs work and which ones don't. But it sounds like, or maybe if they had thrown in the jetpack to the original Crackdown 2, it might have made a little bit more fun out of the gate. But
I don't know, because that took away the challenge. I think a lot of the enjoyment with the first one, or just the challenge, was leveling up your character, which happened much slower. At a much slower rate in the first one, the second one. So when you could only jump a certain height, you really had to figure out your strategy up the side of buildings. But now that you can just friggin' jump in a helicopter and fly there, or use jet thrusters and fly there, or use the wingsuit and
fly there?
Yeah, I mean, it's... and you can jump, like, even higher than you could in the first one. So that challenge is, like, completely gone now.
Yeah, that series is very, very frustrating. Has a lot of potential.
They need to hang up the digital towel, I guess.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
I like that now. I'm going to trademark that one, digital towel.
Digital towelie. All right. I'll wrap this up with a few of my games. I'm actually going to start off quick with Rock Band 3, just to get it out of the way, since I'm Rock Band guy. But that came out this month, and that's kind of a big deal to me. I kind of talked earlier. I did get the keyboard bundle, and having played piano as a kid, I was pretty excited about that. And really, actually, I was impressed by the level of challenge in it. And because I cannot do pro keys, it's going to take a lot of practice, and which hit my first frustration with it was that I thought I was kind of limited to just the keyboard songs that are in Rock Band 3, because any of the previous songs don't include the keyboard. But after a couple parties, we figured out that it's really easy just to use the keyboard as a bass or a guitar, and it's actually pretty fun on those songs. So I don't really feel like I'm restricted by my keyboard at all, and people have really taken to the keytar, at least, putting on your shoulder and playing in that style. And so that's been implemented a lot better than I expected. The song list in Rock Band 3 is a lot more challenging than I gave it credit for. I've been playing, I kind of ramped up to expert guitar during Rock Band 1 and got pretty confident in it. On Rock Band 2, I could get through all but about two songs on expert guitar, but on Rock Band 3, there's at least half a dozen songs off the bat that I can't even touch. And funny moment happened the other day during Crazy when I was trying to play Crazy Train, because one of the achievements in the game is to get 85% on the solo in that song, and I. Every now and then when you know a song, you hit that moment where you realize what you're about to undertake, and then my roommate walks in as I'm prepping for, like, I'm getting to the last moment before the solo, and he kind of laughs at me for even trying to attempt it, and I literally dropped my guitar in the middle of the song just because it was ridiculous. But my point of all of that was that I forgot my point. No, my point of all of that was that I'm still challenged by the game, and that's really exciting after this many years and this many rhythm games. Other than that, other details, just the experience of choosing songs, especially with my large libraries, really improved. It's easy to filter out songs and build playlists, and you can actually save playlists this year. That's been a requested feature for a while for parties anyway. And then haven't gotten to try out the harmonies on the vocals. It's kind of the one new feature I haven't messed with, where you can have three singers at once. You can get up to seven people playing at once, which is just crazy.
That was just released when Beatles Rock Band came out, right?
Yeah, that was kind of the big feature there. It also worked in, and it worked in Green Day as well. Trying to think if there's anything else really new, but it across the board reviews have pretty much been sticking with it. It is the end all be all music game, and you know, jokingly we talk about it. It is a platform, and that's what it's going to be going forward. Like there, I don't see a reason for a Rock Band 4.
So you don't think there's anything that they could make better?
No, I think they'll just focus on the DLC until they come up with. They might be able to improve the vocals a little bit because those haven't changed since Rock Band 1. But I mean, with the pro guitar and the pro drums and the keyboard, it's really all you can do with the instruments. And it's just a matter. It'll just be interesting to see how well this game's supported a year from now with everything else kind of dying down. But right now, it looks like you know DLC and the Rock Band Network are pumping out songs just as strongly as they ever have. So that'll be the interesting thing.
You don't think they're going to release new instruments?
Well, I was going to say, where's the glockenspiel?
Exactly. The didgeridoo. The triangle. The cowbell. I mean, the whole thing, they should have a fucking...
Why have they not contacted Christina with all her wonderful ideas?
See, I would play that game. That game would be zany.
The jug and iron board or...
The spoons, man. The spoons.
They need some wind instruments.
Like an oboe?
Clarinet hero.
I used to play the oboe.
A saxophone.
Saxophone.
I can see them doing like a jazz sort of...
jazz band.
Game. A Rock Band kind of game with some kind of awful plastic saxophone.
And an upright bass.
There were rumors.
Yeah, upright bass.
Upright bass.
Marching band.
And then it's going to go classical. You're going to have like, you know, the cello.
That's what they could do with the Kinect. They could do marching band.
Oh, God. I like that.
That's frightening. Yeah. All right, moving on from music, because I'm Rock Band guy. the game I actually finished this month.
What?
Yeah. Which I didn't think was going to happen, because initially I was so frustrated by Castlevania that I eventually went back and I picked up Enslaved Odyssey of the West the same day I bought Castlevania. And when I got frustrated with Castlevania, I jumped back into Enslaved, and as soon as I let it grab me, it didn't let go. And my review, a real review of it, so I'm trying to find ways not to repeat myself, but it's easily one of my favorite games of the year just for how unique the story is and the characters. And I hate to keep harping on that because that's only half of, you know, really half of what a game should be, but because the gameplay isn't, how do I say this without ripping on? It's not, the gameplay isn't its strength, and it's not done exceptionally well, especially because it borrows from a lot of the other action adventure character action games that are out there. And, you know, it has elements of, you know, Prince of Persia and that kind of thing in it, but they're executed well enough, which is what I can't say about Castlevania, that another game that borrows from everything but failed in its execution. So you're not ever distracted by it because everything else is just done with so much care. And I also have to give it a little bit of credit because it's from a newer studio, Ninja Theory, and from a publisher that's kind of struggled here in the States recently in Namco. So it's not, you're not going to get your AAA treatment and your huge marketing push behind it. And you know, it really hasn't sold that well, so you can probably already find it pretty cheap. But I just wish more games had this much care put into some of the details that in Enslaved seem to embrace, especially because it's weird. It'll be the best eye acting, if there is such a thing, in a video game that you've seen, just from, you know, it's from Andy Serkis of, you know, Lord of the Rings fame, and his kind of motion capture guys. Like a lot of that tech went into making this game, and the characters just feel much more alive than any game I've ever played. And you know, you actually, it's not the most dramatic story, but it still pulls you in like nothing else. Like you really care about the characters, and it will stand out in my memory because of that. And it's also, you know, kind of a timeless story, and as long as the gameplay holds up a little bit, I can see myself going back to play it here in a couple of years, just because it's you can probably get through it in 8 hours if you had to, and it's a cool story.
Yeah, I didn't hear that much about it before it came out, but then I downloaded the demo, and that is definitely a game I want to check out at some point, because I really enjoyed the demo, even though it was like super short, but it was really cool.
Yeah, I recommend checking out the demo. I just played a couple minutes of the demo and realized, oh yeah, I'm getting the game, so I didn't want to ruin much of it. So I don't know how deep it goes. The one thing I'll say is the combat doesn't feel right at first, but man, when it all clicks on the combat, you really do feel like you're kicking some ass, and it has that kind of feel that Batman Arkham Asylum did, that it almost just feels like you're executing dance moves, you know what I mean? That you're if you time everything perfectly, you won't even be touched. And
it's got a rhythm to it.
Yeah, that's a lot better than dance game. It does have a rhythm to it.
No, I like dance.
So it's a rhythm game.
Yes, it's
like Rock Band.
It's exactly like Rock Band, and that's
why. You're a Rock Band guy.
Christina, I know you played the demo of that, and we had a kind of an offline conversation about it.
I liked it. It seemed a lot, from what I played, it seemed a lot like Prince of Persia and every mm-hmm. other game like that.
Here's my question then, because that goes back to Assassin's Creed. Like, knowing that you're excited for the new Assassin's Creed, mm-hmm. and I know you kind of dismissed this game off the bat because it played like Prince of Persia and a lot of those other games, why do you think that, you'd rather continue a series than play a new one with the same type of mechanics?
They've got my trust, okay. And rather than... You know how I get when, like my reaction to, what was that game I was shooting at?
Singularity.
Yeah, just when it seems like, I know everyone steals from everyone, but when it seems like all the studios are doing that, and like, it seems like they're not even trying, and so when I see like a style just completely ripped off like that, and that's really all it seemed to have going for it. It just didn't have my interest. I've seen a lot more, and I did notice that on the cinematics and cutscenes and things like that, there was some great attention to detail in the design. The acting, the motion capture stuff did stand out. So I would like to give it a chance, but this was not one that I even considered purchasing.
Yeah, because it came out of nowhere, and I'm all...
Yeah.
These kind of games, I get sad when they're released in the holiday window because they never stand a chance. But, you know, I look back at like releases like Darksiders that came out in like February or March of this year that got to stand out a little bit even though they wouldn't in the holiday season. And I just hopefully Namco grasps that about why this game doesn't sell, because it wasn't a mark on its quality by any means. Anyway, last game I wanted to touch on... actually was, again, I was fighting going back to Castlevania and looking through my library, and I was really debating on, do I finish Assassin's Creed 2 and play Brotherhood? Do I jump to New Vegas and never come out until 2011? For some reason, the box caught my attention out of the corner of my eye, and I went back to Red Dead Redemption, because I've been reading a lot about the Undead Nightmare expansion that just got released, and everybody's saying that it's a blast, and, you know, very, very self-aware, zombies taking over the Old West, and I was like, well, I don't want to play that until I've beaten the story, and I played the hell out of Red Dead Redemption for at least 2 weeks, but I got, again, those types of games, I bog myself down with side quests and just can keep distracting myself that I never get through the story, and so I actually... had two or three lengthy play sessions with it recently, where I've just been going through the missions, and it's completely sucked me back in. Just like, I just cannot believe how great of a game that actually is. It's so much fun. But so looking forward to finally finishing that story. And I think John Marston's one of the best video game characters to come out in a long time, and you know, for as much as I fought the game before it came out and as much shit as I've given Rockstar over the years, I'm definitely glad to eat my comments on this one. Cool. Well, I know we've talked plenty about Red Dead Redemption, but I just wanted to point that out. So let's.
Did you end up beating it yet?
No, I'm. I think I'm probably about 3/4 of the way through. Like, I stopped right after I got to Mexico, and so I've just been doing all the. I think I just got out of Mexico, so I think I'm like, you know, I'm guessing that I'm done with it, but yeah. Seems that's where it's gotten with the story. But they mix up the missions well. You know, I do get a little bit tired of. It shooting guys from horseback anymore, because that seems to happen at the end of every mission. But they have a good balance of the gameplay really isn't that challenging unless you're not paying attention. Like, you can get shot down pretty quick, but it's so easy to play for as much as is going on in that world. That's kind of the other side of that game that surprises me.
So. Yeah, I'm kind of want to pick it up for the 360 now. Like, I've been wanting to play it again. I had traded my PS3 copy in, so I kind of want to get back into it.
I'm up for co-op, so yeah. maybe eventually we can talk that. About that.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Might take 13 years.
Yes. All right, that wraps up our what we've been playing for the month of November, and I think we got one more of those. Actually, we probably won't do one next month. We'll do our kind of game of the year discussion rather than what we've been playing in December. And so, hopefully, you know, between this and our kind of monthly releases and holiday guide, we've helped in some way you narrow down your choices for the holidays this year. Well, let's move on really quick to HorribleNight.com updates. We've got two more new editorial series, you know, because it's too much to actually populate the ones we have. We keep coming up with new ones. But Cole and I kind of came up with this on the fly, and Cole, you want to talk a little bit about Don't Be That Guy and where that came from?
Yeah, the original title that I had, the first thing that I wrote was, "Dude, I get it. You like Black Ops." And that was inspired by a few guys at my real job just constantly like talking to me about Black Ops, and I really don't have any interest in buying it and playing it, so I just came up with a little post today and kind of got my feelings out about it.
It just hit me that we all kind of run across some stereotypical gamers or fans of games that act in specific ways, and I think we can come up with some other instances of social interaction with gamers that make us uncomfortable. So
definitely,
that's kind of where that series is headed. And then had a guest submission last week from Giftor. Always looking to expand our writing staff, and it's looking like he's going to be coming on pretty regularly. But he wrote a letter to Bungie, and we kind of opened up our mailed this. Series where we can either go after developers directly or other gaming industry, gaming media folk, and but just more in that letter format, which it seemed to have a much different voice than a lot of our other posts. And so I think we'll be revisiting that series as well, and as we have advice for the gaming industry, and we know they're not going to listen, so why bother to send the letter? It's just posted on the website. Then just to mention again, we're looking for reader and listener interaction, and you know, feel free to comment on articles. We like to keep discussion going over our articles, and we're looking for Christina. You're right.
Yeah, sorry, my glasses were. Don't wear headphones over glasses. All right.
So Christine apparently doesn't want listener questions, but we would. We're looking to kind of have more of like an email section of the podcast where we can answer your questions. So use our contact form or hit us up on Twitter. If you ever have any ideas for on-the-spot questions or just general questions about games that you'd like our opinions on, and we'd be happy to lie to you or make you laugh or make you feel a little bit better about it and give you a shout out. So hit us up and look forward to hearing from you. Let's move on to the end of the show where we tackle some industry shout-outs. Just anything else going on in games that you wanted to mention before we took off, starting with Coleman.
Black Friday's coming up for all you Christmas shoppers and gift-getters and all that jazz. But it's a good time to get games that you might have missed out on. I was in Costco today, saw Madden 11 was it for $40. So if you missed out on that, it's already $20 cheaper than it was when it came out. Games like Red Dead, or I've been looking around, they're like maybe $20. Some games are even like $10 at some places. So if you missed out on anything, check your ads and get out there Friday morning so you can get some good deals on some games that you might have missed.
Cool. I still don't understand why people just don't buy them on the first day. I mean, and not play them like I do.
I don't get that either.
Ethan?
I'm just going to shout out to my cats. Apparently, according to my wife, you're being replaced by a Connectimal in December. So that's kind of a blow to your self-esteem, but you guys aren't doing a whole lot for the house anyway. So
Might as well have a fake cat.
Yeah, exactly.
That you can train.
And my cats won't do anything. They just sit there and they eat and they're rude. They're really rude.
Christina.
Just wanted to say that peer pressure does work. I did go out and get Call of Duty Black Ops yesterday after only two people saying, "Come on, get it." That's all it took. I actually picked it up on Saturday, and I said, my cousin was with me. I said, "Talk me out of this." He's like, "Don't buy it." I'm like, "Okay," and I put it down. Monday I was back in Best Buy, and someone said, "You should get it." I'm like, "Okay." And I bought it.
If that's all the peer pressure it takes to get you to do something, never go to Terre Haute because you will be on meth in like 5 minutes.
Okay.
Good advice, Ethan.
All right.
Good advice. Terre Haute, Indiana. Meth capital, apparently. A couple sad stuff going on in the industry right now. First, one of the studios that I've kind of grown fond of recently, thanks to Blur and Geometry Wars, Bizarre Creation is going to be closed here in the next 90 days or whatever it is. That was announced today. So Activision is closing that shop up. They like I said, they did the original racing game Blur that didn't sell too well, and then they did the recently released James Bond game that wasn't GoldenEye. And that hasn't been very well received, so it's just too bad. They have a lot of creative ideas with Geometry Wars and Blur, and I think Activision probably messed up in handling them. So, and then the other kind of related story is Harmonix is actually for sale right now. Viacom, who owns them, is not happy with the profits that the company's bringing in. They bought them for a lot of money, and it's kind of their lone kind of gaming venture, and they're looking to get out of that. So they've put Harmonix up for sale, and looks like currently, as of today, they're just being bid on by multiple companies. So one of the rumors is they might actually end up back at Activision. And
Don't you own some of Harmonix, Justin?
I think I should have a say.
Let's bid, man. I'll give you guys like $5 or something. Let's all go in.
Hopefully they land safely, but just kind of weird just heading into the holiday season after we've been spending a bunch of money to see a couple big name companies that we respect struggling a little bit. So best of luck to them.
What if ZeniMax buys them?
That would be cool. They don't have we could have Rock Band Fallout or Fallout Rock Band. Christina's the only one that hates that idea.
Musical Wastelands. Yes.
They could bring some hope to the waste later, Christina.
Maybe.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me, everybody. And thanks for listening out there. We will be back next Wednesday, not with a co-op episode, but with something entirely different. And look forward to seeing you next week. Take it easy.
Later.
Bye.